Hello, 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 mamas, and welcome to another episode of Hopes of Heaven, brought to you by Alana Song. I am Angela Presley, your host for today, and I am here. I'm so excited. I'm here today with a guest whose name is also Angela, so I just love that. I just love that. Also Angela, and she's here to talk about her son, Nick. So I've just been anticipating this interview all week. So I am so happy to welcome Angela to the show. Welcome, Angela.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Angela.
I love it. I love it.
I know.
I'm sorry.
It's a pleasure to be here. That's all.
Yes. Yes, I love it. You're so welcome. It's an honor. This is how I start my show. I want to give you a minute. We are all moms. So I want you to give us your Nick. Tell us something about your baby. That just can bring a smile to our faces. Something that you just love, love, love about your Nick. Whether he's a kid, going through school, whatever it is about your Nick, let us love on him.
Okay, thank you. Nick, if I describe Nick in one word, it would be a goofball. Nick loved to make people laugh. He is always laughing, always joking. He just really love to laugh everything. You know, when he was in high school, he had sent me a message. It said, "Hey Buffalo, can you make me some chicken nuggets?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, why did you send me that? What does Buffalo mean? Is it some secret?" You know, so I was, "Mom, like, what is going on?" Always trying to analyze everything, and he couldn't stop laughing. And he was like, it was just autocorrect. That's all it was. It was autocorrect. And he called me Buffalo for the rest of his life.
Really?
In his phone, it was Buffalo. He would tell his friends, "Me and Buffalo are coming over." And he just really loved that. He was just a goofball. He loved laughing. He loved hiking. Hiking was his favorite thing. He liked talking to people, especially about their pain and their sadness. He just really connected with that. He just loved being there in the darkness with people, and he didn't shy away from it, you know, and he could just make everything better. But we also I created a day called National Take a Hike with Nick Day, because it's on April 23rd. That's the day he was killed, because he loved hiking. It was his church for him, being in nature, and he was always trying to get people to go there and stuff. You know, just adventurous and goofy would be two things about Nick that I would say are what I would want everybody to know about him. He was just very special.
Wonderful. Wow. Wonderful. I love that. I've never heard of Hiking Day. I love that.
Yeah, it's April 23rd. It's National Take a Hike with Nick Day. It was one thing that I did right after he died, because I really wanted it to be a day to remember Nick and what Nick stood for. And I've spent probably most of my time advocating to stop fentanyl from killing people and stuff like that, and talking about that part of Nick's life, because I don't want anyone else in my shoes, like a lot of us do. But this was Nick. This was Nick. This is Nick's thing, because Nick's died on April 23rd. His birthday was May 3rd, so he actually died within 10 days of his birthday. Yeah. So it's all kind of right there together. And we just wanted that to be a day where we can just celebrate Nick and who he was, what he stood for, stuff like that, with, you know, just kind of like bringing in his heart to everybody, to how to connect and heal in nature. That's what he was all about, you know?
Yes. I'm just soaking this in. I'm loving this. I have to dissect this just a little bit before we move on, because one of the main purposes of this podcast is for moms to find their purpose through the loss of their child. So with you saying this, because I get moms all the time, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I tell them all the time, it could be the simplest things. It could be the, you know, just something that you would love to do to share with others. And the way that you have created your purpose through what he loved, he loved that to bring awareness. One of your ways to bring awareness is through something that he loved.
Right. And yeah. I tell people all the time, I'm just following Nick. I believe the higher spiritual realms of everything, that he had to die in that way on that day for that reason. And there's absolutely nothing I could do to change that. So I look at that as his mission in life, and I'm following him. I'm helping him complete his mission. That's why I advocate like I do. I fight like I do, because I'm just following the path he laid before me, and I'm going to meet him there. So I'm doing all of this because this is what he said. This is our path together. You know, he started it. I'm not going to have let that just die in vain. If he had to go in that way to bring awareness and things, while I don't like it, if that's what his life path was, who am I to try to stop that? I'm going to do everything I can to make that fulfilled, that his destiny and mine are intertwined. Our missions are intertwined. Everything I do, I feel he's with me. In everything I do, we're doing it together, you know, and when those days are hard, we don't want to get up, and none of that really even matters. That happens to everybody, you know, that happens to everybody. None of us is immune, but I try to look at it when I can, that we're doing something together. And this, I tell people, the greater the pain, the greater the purpose. Yeah. When they ask me, oh, what should I do? And things like that, I say, what do you want the world to know?
Yes.
Want the world to know about your story, your pain, or your angel story, or their pain. And that's what you do. That's what you do. And you follow it, and you don't let anyone take you off that path. It might not look like someone else's, and that's okay. You doesn't have to.
That's right.
It's unique. Grief is like a snowflake, right? It's not, yours is different than mine. Mine's different than yours, but they're all beautiful in their own way. And they're also horrible in their own way with this. So, you know, it kind of balances out. It's as awful as it is great sometimes.
Angela, that, what you just said, I'm just soaking it in. I'm just getting all the nuggets. That was so perfect of all of what you just told us. Mamas, listen. If you have to listen to this part again, please do so. That was so perfectly said, Angela. It's like you get it. You get it. You get it, because we get so many moms, and it's easy to do because I did it and I still do it. So many moms that fall into that deep despair.
Yeah.
That they don't want to get up. They don't.
Right. And we are all there sometimes. Yeah. We are all there. You know, sometimes people look at me as somebody so strong. I can do everything. I can't, you know, my son's only been gone 2 years too. Yeah. Like, you can do everything. I can't do it. And I'm like, me either. Me either. I can't do it either. They're like, I'm on the couch. I can't get out. My life has changed. I used to be somebody who worked out every day, was in optimal health. I had a good mindset. All that's gone.
Yes.
Everything about me is gone. Yes. Who I used to be is gone. And I just try to ride the waves with it and accept this is part of it, because the way I see it is I'm following Nick, and that gives me that purpose. And when I feel like I can't get off the couch, I don't get off the couch.
Yes.
I do it. And when I'm I understand that I haven't left my house, and like during that time I didn't leave my house for 7 months, you Ooh, know.
Yeah.
That's okay too. I was doing the best I could. And that's what I tell them. You're doing the best you can. I'm so proud of you.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you. If that's all you can do is breathe today, that's so good, because that sometimes we don't want to do that. It's I don't think people understand how horrific it is to go through that pain unless you've been through it yourself, where you don't want to be alive, you know. And I talk about it because I don't want people to be ashamed of that or anything. Like, that's a truth. It's not like, it's just a truth. And sometimes moms don't make it, and that's just the sad reality. And you know, my friend tells me she had lost her son too when he was 21. He died in a car accident. His name's Mikey. And he was the first person I asked to look out for Nick when I found out. But like she said, it's, you know, she can't like do what we do, advocate around a car accident, where we can, like, we have this thing where it's a good thing where we have each other, but then it's a bad thing because this is happening on like such a widespread scale. Like, I don't necessarily want to be doing this. Right. I really want to be doing this. But the way I see it is, this is part of what I have to do right now, because this is going on across the nation. This is a movement that we're a part of that I don't want to be a part of, but I'm going to play out our part, and to wherever it goes. I want to work myself out of a job. I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be doing this at all. I just want it to stop. So I don't know what it looks like. I don't know where it's going. And for the first time, my controlling need to know everything, plan everything up front self has to go with the flow.
Yeah.
You know?
Man.
And I'm just following him. So it makes it, I have a place I'm going.
Yeah. You definitely get it. You definitely, everything you're saying is like, check mark. These are the things that I feel. These are the things that I say before I hit the button to, you know, for the podcast. I'm always saying, okay, this is for the purpose. I don't know where it's going. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm just following, like you said, Alana. I'm talking to her. Hey kid, you got to be with me when I'm, you know, while I'm doing this. I don't know what I'm doing, but
right.
I know it's the purpose.
Right.
I just know it's the purpose. So
right. When I started, I was doing, I bought 600 shirts. I was off. I took 6 months off of work. I got replaced after my 13 weeks. So yeah. I knew I had a job to go back to. And I just wanted to I was going to make them. Of course, that didn't work out. I started making wreaths. I was like making wreaths like crazy all the time. Yeah. Well, anyway, I ended up getting somebody to print the shirts, and they had this thing on there, and they say, which we still use, supporting the fighter, admiring the survivors, honoring the taken, and it has a purple ribbon with Nick's name, and then on front it says never alone. And I started putting people's name, like never alone Alana, her age, and all across the U.S. and it helped me feel connected to people, because in my own state, which is Kentucky, I was alone. Mm-hmm. Nobody, you know, my son didn't struggle with a substance use disorder. So when I heard that he was dead, we all thought he killed himself. Mm. You know, didn't really do drugs like that. Come to find out, it was something that he would do every now and then with somebody. He did smoke pot. And I knew that. I knew that he experimented with things. But to come in contact with something, you know, 50 to 100 times stronger than heroin, it was not even on our radar. Because when we called to, like, they made us do an autopsy. We didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, a crime had occurred and we didn't have a choice. And we're like, a crime? Oh my God. And then we're like, what? So we called, like, when are we going to get his body back? And they said, oh, really soon. because we're overflowing with bodies. And we're like, oh my God, COVID? And they said, no, fentanyl. We're like, fentanyl? What is fentanyl? Yeah. We'd never heard of it. And it became my mission during that time to like do something, because 3 months later, when you get a little bit of bearings to you and you call the police, see what's going on, he said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't know who your son is. That's the day I met stigma, because I was like, how can it be that they don't even care about people because they use drugs? Like, is that really happening? How can that be? How can people judge and determine who matters and who don't based on how they died? Because that's the first question people would always ask me. How did Nick die? How did Nick die? That was offensive to me. Yes, like, that's like walking up and saying, like, you know, how much do you weigh? I don't know what it would be. It was like, what does it matter?
I get he's
dead, but they do that to determine how much they should or should not care about that. Shocking to me, and to understand with all the moms I've met now whose kids have battled a substance use disorder, and they can tell you stories. They've known stigma for a long time. They've been treated that way for years. They expected it. And that to me is just unacceptable. How can we call ourselves a good society when we treat people like that? These people are not well. You know what I mean? And all of that together, you know, Nick didn't have a substance use disorder, but he could have. He very well could have, you know, had this continued, because fentanyl just does that to people without them even knowing what happened. Yeah. Doesn't take a long time. It's instant. So I was just like really blindsided by the amount of emphasis people put on how people died, if they matter or not. And part of what we do is with our angel signs, they say my life matters on our signs, because our kids do matter. Yeah. The way they died doesn't matter. Yeah. Whether your kid used drugs once or 8 million times, they matter.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what color they are, what, you know, what gender they are, whether they're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. And to, that was one thing that was just like very important for us. And I'm still waiting for those PSA announcement in Kentucky to come out that have it came out warning people about drugs. But since then, like when I started, the DEA said 4 out of 10 pills were fatal. Just recently, the DEA, well, 2022, they said 6 out of 10 pills were fatal. Now, just recently, 7 out of 10 pills are fatal. Like, what is going on here? And it's just like so many areas of things that I've never even understood before that were happening. It's just shocking to see the way this is actually going. And I just look at it as kind of like an awakening to the nature of the way things are.
Yes.
Because things are not well. Things are not well. And people who think things are well, they're not okay, because I don't want them to wake up one day like me with their kid gone or something before they can truly understand. And I have great compassion for those who don't think I'm talking to them, because I'm like, yeah, me too. But guess what? I am talking to you. I'm talking to everybody with ears, because that's who it could affect. Everybody without ears, everybody, no matter what, it can affect you. You know, the fact that my son is dead from drugs, and he didn't, you know, can tell you that it can happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone. Addiction can happen to anyone. Fentanyl poisoning can happen to anyone. And that's really what a lot of us do. And we kind of have this amazing bond over that. While you may not like everybody you meet, because personalities are what they are, you still have a deep compassion for everybody end of the day. And, you know, everybody's not going to be on your same flow of team, and that's life. You know, there's no one way to handle anything. It's a multifaceted problem with multifaceted ways, so there's a lane for everyone. I just wish that people would let that be a little bit more, like, understand that and like stop being it's just my way, because that's kind of part of the problem. You know, we need to understand that we're all unique, we all matter, all of our kids matter, and we all have a different lane, and that's okay. That's beautiful, right?
Yes.
Trying to force everybody into your lane is more of the same.
So I want to be clear about your Nick.
Yeah.
So growing up, a teenager, young adult, there was like no everyday drug problem that a lot of families are going through.
No. Actually, I think Nick was in high school when we had found out he smoked pot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we took that very seriously. We like took him to AA meetings and stuff because we didn't want him to go down that path of being on drugs and stuff. So, because he was like, remember that time when I smoked pot and y'all made me go to AA? And we're like, yeah. He's like, that was crazy. We're like, no, that was like, and when Nick was in middle school, because he grew up in Florida when he was a teen, because that's where we lived, kids were snorting Smarties.
Yeah.
There was no drugs in them. But nowadays, what, fentanyl looks like that. We took him to like an AA meeting and stuff just to let him understand, because that to me was minimizing drug use.
Yeah.
And making it like nothing. And we really wanted him to understand that was something. You know, it was a really big deal. So I know that Nick smoked pot when he was in high school and on through college. And I know that he had experimented with different things. And he told me about it. And yeah. I understood that because I'm from Kentucky and I don't know anybody that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to high school, people used to give us pills in the hallway. They were speed. And we would take them. Why? I don't know. Because yeah. They just did. So I knew that he did things like that. We talked about that. And I would just say, you know, I don't want you to do it, obviously, but be careful. Don't do anything like heroin or stuff because you can't come back from that.
Yeah.
Like, but all of this was rendered useless conversations about drugs because I didn't know about fentanyl, which is what I tell my leaders, the governor, the whatever, the attorney general, all of our state representatives, everybody, all the people in harm reduction, everybody, you're rendering me useless when you don't empower me with facts. Because I had a conversation with him in January about this. He died in April.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, don't do things like that. And he wasn't. He was all for like decriminalizing drugs because that's the movement.
Yeah.
Like, let do what they want, you know. And I was like, Nick, those drugs are bad and they will like really mess people's lives up. He's like, I'm not saying they should do them, you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But if people are going to, which is the whole theory behind harm reduction. But here's the thing, people don't know what's happening to them. They don't know that they're being poisoned and stuff, you know, they don't know. And then it's really just hijacking their brains and everything. And it sounds good if the drug supply wasn't poison, but the drug supply is poison. So there's no way to safely use poison. There just isn't.
Yeah.
And I don't like it when people tell people that, because it's just not true. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just not true. I had the DEA tell me, like in Louisville, one person, he was like, you know, I tell my kids about the dangers. I was like, that's so good that you're empowered with that. I'm so happy that your child knows that. That's amazing. I never got the opportunity to tell my kid that. I never heard of Narcan. Yeah. Nick never heard of Narcan. He never heard of fentanyl. I never heard of fentanyl, you know? So that's kind of like our path is the prevention and awareness. Now, do I know there's other aspects in other lanes? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's in a different area, and that's fine.
Right.
I mean, this is our big thing is prevention and awareness, because what Nick did and now killed him.
Mm-hmm. But
I can't go back and say that in that conversation, Nick, you can't try anything these days. There's something in there called fentanyl, and it will kill you.
On the
spot. You know?
Yeah.
You don't get to recover from that. You can't get better from that. Nick never had a chance to go to recovery.
Yeah.
Ever. Not one chance, you know, and that's what I tell people when I talk to them in rehab when they're on their recovery path. Like, I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you don't waste it, because you're getting an opportunity that my son was denied. He will never get a chance that you have.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm so glad that you get this chance. I'm so glad. Don't waste it. Your life means that much. I hope you see that. I'm rooting for you. Don't waste it. You know, and I think a lot of them really connect with that, especially some of the people that really were kind of like Nick, and they're just experimenting with things.
Yeah.
One boy had told me all he ever did was smoke pot, and now he was in rehab. And when he heard Nick's story, he was like, I didn't really understand that could have been me. Mm-hmm. That could have been me. I didn't think I did stuff like that. So, and why would anybody think that, yeah. You know, from the way, why would you think if you smoked pot or did a pill every now and then, you would die?
Yeah.
So you know,
I'm just soaking all this. I'm learning. I lost Alana from a stray bullet. So listening to the fentanyl, I'm just learning. I'm trying to figure this out, even though you haven't figured it out, but I'm trying to get some kind of details. So with fentanyl, I take it that it's some kind of liquid that you put on the pill?
So what happens with fentanyl is it's analogs that are made in China and they're shipped over to Mexico, where the Mexican drug cartel puts them in this powder and they make pressed pills that look exactly like prescription pharmaceuticals. Like this.
Oh.
They look exactly like that.
Wow.
And they make them as Percocets, Xanax, Adderall, even Tylenol. They make them look like Skittles, whatever. They're tasteless. They're odorless. And then they lace it into heroin. Pretty much it's replaced heroin. Heroin really doesn't even exist anymore because they have to grow that and stuff. And they lace it into cocaine. They lace marijuana with it. And they put it in methamphetamine. And people don't know it's there. It started affecting people with their heroin supply. They were addicted to heroin, and then they started putting it in there because somebody that might use 3 times a day is now going to use 6 times a day because it's so much more addictive. And they don't care if it can kill them. They really are not concerned. They make more money quicker, and that's really all that matters. If you die, it's irrelevant. China, on the other hand, that's a military strategy to kill people of this military age, and that's like a strategy that's been going on for a long time with the whole drug thing. But anyway, they kind of started doing it with heroin and the opioid crisis, obviously, with the cyclers and stuff that got started with them legally addicting people to opioids, calling it non-addictive when it was. If you've ever seen the movie called Dope Sick, it really explains that. There's a new one out. I can't remember the name of it. I haven't watched it yet on Netflix, but it explains how all that happened. Anyway, you fast forward to like 2020, and then like you see a lot more of these pills and things happen. Then COVID shutdown happened, and a lot of people who were on Suboxone and things like that for the opioid addictions that they got addicted to legally from their prescription pills, they can't get it anymore. Everything's shut down. So then they go on the streets. Now everybody starts dying, right? And this record number of people started dying 2020, 21, 22, keeps going up every year.
Yeah.
And they have kids like my son and, you know, a lot of these kids that are just doing whatever, maybe experimenting or maybe whatever. Some of it's mental health, some of it's social. I think Nick's was social. Mm-hmm. Whatever reason, they do this. They'll take one pill or they'll split it or whatever, and they'll die. Or they'll use cocaine to, you know, try that recreationally, and they'll die. Mm-hmm. And all of that has just, it's, the DEA says that it's, you know, 2 drug cartels that do it, and they do it intentionally to deceive, poison people, and to make money. So for the longest time, the only people who even had our backs was the DEA. They're the only ones who were talking about it or saying anything. And just recently, the Department of Justice is now talking about it. They're going after these nationalists or these criminal networks in China that are doing it, because it's illegal to do it in China to sell that drug. But they sell it here, technically bypassing here and going to the cartels, and they do it. And they know this chemical is lethal. They know it. they do it with wanton disregard for anything. The drug cartels, they just make a lot of money, got a lot of new customers. You can get it to the kids. One use, you're addicted. You might not even know it, but your body will start to feel the effects of dope sickness over one use. You'll feel like you have the flu, things like that. Your mental health can deteriorate. All these things are happening, and nobody knows that. Who would think if using something one time, this is happening to you when you're not choosing to do hard drugs or whatever, you know? But it's happening to all across America, coast to coast, every neighborhood, every age group, no matter what. Now, babies are dying from it. We lost two babies in the Louisville area in April of this year. Baby Cash was 3 years old. Baby Cameron was one. They were both at their dad's houses where we believe they touched the surface where it had been. Or it can be airborne. There's a baby that just died in the Bronx. There were three kids that got sick. One of them died where they had the fentanyl production in the house or the daycare where they were doing it. A lot of people don't realize how lethal it is. You can touch fentanyl and you don't have to know it is there, and it's in everything. They even make it look like candy, you know, and they will. There's kids. The youngest kid I know, I think, was 12. 12 and 13 are some of our youngest kids, but there's, I can't tell you how many kids I know now, 15, 16, 17, 18. And I tend to focus on those kids because people don't understand that these kids don't have a substance use disorder. They're not addicted to drugs. My son wasn't addicted to drugs, but if you hear out in the public, they'll say fentanyl overdose and addiction. Well, that's not true. That's just not what's happening anymore. Do people still get addicted? Absolutely, more than ever. But here's the thing. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people, this does, they don't have a chance to get addicted, and they're not overdosing on drugs. They're not taking too much of a known substance. My son took a fourth of a pill. He split a half a pill with someone, and he died. He lost his life for $30. $30, he's dead. Don't get to come back from that. That's happening from coast to coast, top to bottom, all across the continent. Actually, it's happening in Canada and Mexico too. They don't want this happening either, but it's happening. Drug cartels are all over America, all this stuff. It's everywhere. They confiscate so much. There's enough fentanyl here to kill every American at least three times, you know, and this is intentional. We lost 107,000 Americans in 2021 when my son died, which was an unprecedented, never heard of number. And 2022, 110,000 Americans died. All of these are from drugs. I think they said between 70 and 80% is fentanyl. And it's the number one killer in America from the 18 to 45 year old range. And it's the fastest growing killer of those 15 and under. That has never really been seen before. People don't understand it until it happens to them. They look, the stigma says, you're a bad parent. Those are bad kids. Not my kid. My kid wouldn't do that. My kid doesn't do that. Well, almost everybody's kid does that.
Yeah.
You know, once or twice when we speak, we were with a program called Steered Straight in a school, in our local school, and he was, you know, having kids raise their hands or whatever. And about 90% of the kids said they were vaping. What these kids don't know is some of those vape carts they get off the street come from the drug cartels, and they have methamphetamine and fentanyl in them. They think they're trying THC for the first time, and they are highly addicted to these things. They don't know it, and their parents don't know it. And then there was about, this was really shocking to us, but probably 50% of those kids that were middle and high school raised their hand to say they either bought pills off of Snapchat or they had taken pills that somebody else gave them, you know, and people are like, why would your kid take a pill that's not prescribed to them? And I'm like, this is a pill pushing society. When my son died, I needed love, compassion, and community. What I got was four prescription bottles. That's what I got. That's this community. You know, that's what my son was given when he was in school, and he had it took him more time to process information because he had Asperger's. He was given Adderall to speed up his brain, not anything to slow down and meet him where he was. You know, there's a lot of talk about meeting people where they are, but who meets children where they are? I do. And I'm going to fight for that because these kids are being annihilated.
Yeah.
They're annihilated and their lives ruined. And what would maybe be a long time ago, like a 15-year-old girl, like little Hannah, who died in Texas, she might have, could have become addicted to drugs, but she's dead.
Yeah.
You know, or a little 17-year-old up in Indiana named Honesty, and her mom tries to go and talk to the school and they don't want to talk about it. 6 months later, her best friend is dead. Same high school, because stigma says it's just those kids, but it's everybody's kids, you know. And I didn't know any of these things before I started. And it is my mission to do it. It's my, I educate myself on it. I will tell people about it, whether they agree or disagree. That's irrelevant to me. I just don't want your kids to die. I'm not doing what I do to save Nick. I can't save Nick. But I'm doing it to empower you to save yourself as a kid, because I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
I'm talking to them. You know, I can tell the parents all day long, but ultimately it's up to the kids. It's up to them to not do it. And I just give them the truth. Mm-hmm. Some people will say that's a scare tactic. And I say, no, it's just scary. It's just scary. It's just scary. The amount of children I know that are dead from this. It's just scary, and I want them to know the truth. And kids will make videos of each other, you know, and they don't understand. They don't understand. They're not sleeping. They are dead. And they don't even understand what's happening. It's the most horrific thing I've ever seen in my life. I really can't even believe it's true.
Yeah. And if fear is going to get their attention, then that's what should be used.
I mean,
you got these kids out here whose attitude or mindset is, it's not going to happen to me.
Right.
It's not going to happen to me.
Real. They don't think it's real. And, you know, there's a, like this shirt I have says, the only thing Narcan enables is breathing. So there's some people that think that Narcan is enabling and that kids are like Narcanning each other and thinking it's funny. I don't know of anybody who does that. I really don't. Does it happen occasionally? I'm sure maybe. But for the most part, people don't even think they need, that's talking to them.
Yeah.
You know? They've never heard of it. When I was at that school, he asked who had heard of fentanyl. Three kids had heard of fentanyl. Out of 90% that are vaping, 50% that are buying pills, three kids had heard of fentanyl. Those same three kids had heard of Narcan. Nobody else. Nobody else. And it's just like, it's a crisis of epic proportion. And I have a whole thing where I start, part of our teen signs say it's not safe to be a teenager in America, because you used to be able to experiment with things, and most people didn't fall victim to succumb to an addiction. Some did, and that was the risk of doing it. Of course, you didn't want people to do it, but most people could, like, didn't end up dead or in a deep addiction, or they had quite a while to recover. You know, you still had 10 to 20 years to recover. Yeah. You don't have anymore. Most people are dead within the first year of coming in contact with fentanyl. And while some people can actually use it and get addicted to fentanyl for years, I don't know how that happens, other than they have a really high tolerance for it anyway, sometimes with like opioids. But even then, whether you have a high tolerance or not, say you're addicted to heroin, one day you might not know it's in there and you take the same amount and you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, my friend Tammy, her son, he had struggled with a heroin addiction, and she does the nonprofit, the Never Alone Nick Rucker Foundation, with me. And her son had struggled for 10 years with an addiction, and heroin was his drug of choice. Well, he said there was fentanyl out there now, and he didn't like it. He wanted any part of it. Mm-hmm. So that's when he chose recovery, and he was in recovery for 15 months. And what he did is somebody told him they were getting rid of a prescription Xanax because he was having trouble sleeping. He drove 2 hours to our community to get what he thought was a prescription pill to help him sleep. He came back home to a sober living facility, took that pill, and died. having no idea that it was there, you know, and when I go to rehabs and stuff and talk, there are people that are addicted to methamphetamine and they're testing positive for fentanyl. And they're like, I have no idea. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know that was there. I didn't do. Oh, those are two different things. One's an upper, one's a downer.
Yeah.
And there was this big article this person put out where people are doing this to themselves, which I emailed him and I was like, why would you say that? You don't know what you're talking about until you're out there asking people. Do some people do it? Perhaps, I'm sure. But for the most part, people don't know what's happening and they're just dying.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, people don't realize this is coming for everybody. It's coming for everybody. We're so infiltrated with it now. It's a scary, the places,
yeah.
The United States is a very deadly place to be for a teenager these mm-hmm. days. And that's awful.
Yeah. Just listening to you, but because of course, the thing with me is guns.
Yeah.
So what you're saying about drugs is the same thing I'm saying about guns.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're combined, right? Because the people who are like the drug cartels bring them in. And they bring them in. They have Americans helping them. Then they give them to the gangs and stuff. And they're distributing them. And Americans are helping them. And they all have guns. They all have drugs. It's a huge network of crime. And it's interrelated. You know, it's interrelated. I just was talking to Ashley. We went to D.C. For the Lost Voices, a fentanyl rally. And she's the one who lost her 3-year-old. And when we were on our way back, she was like, another 14-year-old in my neighborhood got killed with a gun. Another one. And I don't remember how many she said, but this is in Louisville, Kentucky, where she lives. And it's unprecedented.
Yeah.
The amount of people that are dying with guns and the amount of people that are dying from drugs and fentanyl. Louisville, that town she's in, is number one for fentanyl deaths in our state.
Wow.
It's also one in our state for gun violence. You know what is also going on there? There's two rival drug cartels in that city.
Hmm. Yeah.
Set up shop. You know, they're in deep. They're in deep. And I think that's one thing the DEA was like, you know, we're just telling everybody the truth. We're showing them where they're at, who's here, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we have to worry about that just tells you how far deep into this country they are. The fact that my son was killed by a drug cartel in the middle of Kentucky, what does that tell you?
Yeah.
Pretty, it's pretty mind blowing. I don't understand how we got here, you know?
Yes, definitely.
And most people don't think we're here. That's the thing. They don't know. They don't know until it happens to them. And I hate that. We try to tell them it doesn't have to happen to you for it to matter to you. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, kind of like the Matrix sometimes, like you're in this state of blissful unawareness
yeah.
and you like it there, and I don't blame you.
Yeah.
But please, for the love of God, look at this. I'm telling you, it's real. I don't want you to come here forcefully.
And I have that conversation often. People don't get it until mm-hmm. it knocks on their front door. They're just oblivious. They're just going on about their happy, you know, lives. And, you know, thank God that you can. But like
right.
you said, it doesn't have to happen to you in order for you to care.
I know, because it's almost like, and I mean, I've said it. Who is it that you love that you have to lose for you to act? Because
yeah.
Yeah, you can say I'm in grief and all of this. And yeah, sure. Of course I am. But if I was just in grief, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I would just be dealing with my grief.
There you go.
It's like talking to somebody the other day. If my son had, you know, died in a different way, I'm not sure this would be. That wouldn't be my path. I'm not trying to help other people, you know, in that way. And in some ways it does help with the grief as far as it goes by having that connection.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the fact that this is going on, because like, it's insane. Is it not? It's insane. The amount of young people that are dying and people don't notice. I didn't notice.
Yeah.
I didn't notice. So I do have compassion for people who don't. I'm not saying you guys suck or I
yeah,
know
right.
that don't know. And some of those very people will be the ones arguing with me about it, telling me, well, if my son had just done a fentanyl test strip, maybe he'd be alive. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Stop saying that. That's mm-hmm. some sort of ideology that you heard and you think is true. It's not based in fact.
Right.
Those fentanyl test strips don't test for all analogs of fentanyl. The CDC even says that. So if you, I tell them, if you're willing to take that stand, let's go get that other half a pill and let your kid put it to the test.
Yeah.
And no Narcan, because my kid never heard of it. So if you still want to say it after that, go ahead. I use fentanyl test strips for what they're designed for, which is to test your urine for exposure to fentanyl. And I pass them out like that. I tell parents to take them, test your kids. I never wanted to be that kind of parent. But this is life or death, ladies, like life or death.
Yeah.
To take them, test them. And I tell people, if you're experimenting with drugs out there, test yourself, find out. And if you test positive, go get help. You're not okay. You're on the clock. You're on the clock of death. And I know that sounds scary because it is scary. I would give anything. Like I'll fade everybody with my words, trying to do whatever, because I try to be the voice that was denied me and my son. Like I said, I had a conversation with him 3 months before he died about drugs. I didn't know about fentanyl.
Yeah.
I don't know what it could have changed, but being denied that information, you know, there's a whole push of, well, people are going to use drugs anyway. I was like, maybe so, but you can't say that because not every kid uses drugs. And, you know, you're not going to take away my right to empower my kids as a parent and tell them the truth because you already assume defeat that they're going to do it anyway. And this isn't drugs. This is poison.
Yeah.
This isn't just marijuana. This isn't even just heroin or anything. All these natural substances, these are synthetic things that kill people, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, I don't understand how we got here, but I know we are here.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we wrap up, I got a couple of more questions before we wrap up. To all the moms that are listening, what advice, what words would you give to the moms that's listening? What can they do if their kid is in this drug battle? Or where can they go if they've lost their kid in this drug battle? What words can you give to our moms out there that are listening? What advice?
Right. For the ones who their kids are still struggling, I mean, I've never really been in that position, and you have my heartfelt empathy and sympathy. And I just say, keep doing whatever it takes, whatever you can do to try to save their lives. Whatever that looks like, that's what you do. You know, don't, like, it's dangerous. They could die. You're not wrong. Just stay with them. Keep looking out for them, checking on them. Their lives matter. And do whatever it takes, and don't listen to anything anybody else says. There's lots of things out there to help that are different than they used to be. But then again, sometimes there's not. So whatever you got to do, do it.
Yes.
And whatever that is. And if your child is gone, like Nick, you know, I would just say, find a place where you feel empowered, where you feel like you're making, you feel like you're connected with your purpose, your passion. Like we have our nonprofit, the Never Alone Nick Rucker Foundation. You can follow us there. You can follow us on Facebook. I have a grief and awareness group, Never Alone Nick Grief Group. I don't know the rest of the name, but we share things in there where people can talk about stuff and, you know, have like Nick's joke of the day or Nick's song of the day and people like that. And you talk to other parents, share your child, maybe get some inspiration or something, whatever it takes. There's lots of groups out there for grief or for like loss of the fentanyl or drug induced homicide, whatever you feel is like your strongest message or different things, do that. Connect with somebody. Know you're not alone. That's the name of our whole foundation. Cause my son, Nick, felt alone. You know, that's where I came up with the name. and I just want you to know that you're not. And if you don't really jive with one person's thing, keep looking or create your own, you know, because there's so many out there. Unfortunately, there's so many of us. You will find your lane and you will find your purpose in it, you know, just one breath at a time. Yeah. Because it's hard. It's hard. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. And remind yourself of that. It's hard what you're doing. It's hard.
Yes.
Definitely. And to moms like you, you know, who've lost your children to guns or whatever, it's the same. You know, losing your child is hard. And to advocate to try to save others is sacred.
Yeah.
It's sacred, and it's a sacred warrior mission, you know, and it's not for everybody, and that's okay. Just find some place where you feel connected, where you feel like you can get through it, because everybody's not supposed to do everything. There's something for all of us. The smallest thing is also the biggest thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just showing up, just holding up a picture for you, that is a big thing. Yeah. You don't have to do all the crazy stuff I'm doing or you're doing to make a difference, because the smallest thing is as good, is as much as the biggest. It just is. And don't let anybody tell you any different on that. You, whatever you do matters.
Definitely. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay, Angela. So we're going to get to the last question that I ask all my mamas. So I am... definitely ready to hear your answer. Angela, what are your hopes of heaven?
Well, that's a pretty good question. My son really didn't believe in like heaven and stuff like that. So it was a little weird at first because I knew he believed in nature really. Yeah. And then somebody showed me, it's from this movie. It's actually a show. I can't remember what it was called. He'll really get me for not remembering the name of that. But anyway, at the end, like his brother had died and he had moved on and he was in this place in the mountains, which Nick loved the mountains. And he was driving around his car listening to his favorite song, which Nick loved, driving Buicks and stuff like that. And he loved music.
Yeah.
So I just picture him up in the mountains, driving his Buick, listening to some music. And then like, in the meantime, his brother lived a whole life, but no time had passed between them. No time had passed. When his brother was like really old, he died, and his brother stopped on a bridge, and they met each other. And to him, he hadn't even finished listening to that song yet.
Wow.
And they are the same age, and they are just like, hey, brother, so glad to see you. And he's like, yeah, get in. That's the way I see it. I see Nick just cruising around with so many of his friends because he has so many friends now, all the people I know, all these really good kids that helps me so much to know that he's not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many awesome kids. That's the horrible part, but it's the good part to know that they're all together, these awesome people that are awesome like him. And I just know he's just chilling, listening to that song. And I say, keep a spot for me till I get there. I'm just catching up, following his path, going the way he sent me. I know I'm going in that direction.
Yes.
Nothing's going to keep me from that. I'm just setting out the lane he put me to so I can get in that car with him on my day. And no time will pass the where he's at. It'll just be like he was listening to his favorite song in his favorite car at his favorite environment. Wow. That's heaven.
I love it. I love your hopes of heaven, because I believe eternity has no time. So when we are back with our babies, it's going to be like they just left.
Yeah.
They just left. So I love that. I love your hopes of heaven. So, Angela, I just want to thank you so much for joining me today. You gave us such good nuggets. You gave us such good information that's going to help us heal, and that's just going to help get us to the next minute, the next day. So I just want to thank you. You did such a wonderful job.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. So, mamas, this is coming to the end of the episode. Don't forget, to jump online for your Angel Mom merch, www.alanasong.com. Jump on there anytime and just purchase something for a mom that you know, or even for yourself. If you know a mom who has a wonderful, wonderful story to tell about their journey, about their kid, go ahead and reach out to me on Facebook. Alana Song on Facebook is where you can find me. Alana Song on Instagram is where you can find me. Go ahead and reach out, and we will definitely get your mom on the show, an angel mom on the show. So again, Angela, thank you for joining me.
And thank you.
Moms out there, take care. Bye-bye.